for that. We could just stay with that for a while. Let's just keep singing that a whole bunch of times. You are stronger. You are stronger, Lord. Sin's power is broken. It isn't that what we're all just kind of straining to try to express this morning? This whole weekend, the passion of Christ, His work, His triumph. And I could sense that in Gemma, as she was sharing this morning, just a sense of, man, there's just so much to express. All that is contained. The hymn been going through my mind, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, if we only had a thousand tongues. Imagine all over, throughout the nations around this globe, all the gatherings of believers, and even those believers that can't gather, who are alone. But imagine all of the multitude of expressions like this, straining to express what He has accomplished. He is risen. He is risen. And what that means. The four living creatures around the throne of God who are constantly in His presence, surrounding His throne and beholding Him. Scripture says that they are covered with eyes. I think so often about that. What does that look like? Covered with eyes. It says they have six wings, and even under their wings, they're covered with eyes. I don't know what that looks like. But I think the reason that they have all those eyes is just to try to strain to behold the glory, all of the facets, the countless facets of the glory and the wonder. Just straining, all those eyes constantly straining. And I feel like that's the way we are this morning. And through this time, I feel like we're all just spiritually just covered with eyes, and we're looking in amazement, and we're straining to comprehend, what does it mean? And you know what? We'll be in that posture and with that sense for all eternity. We will be forever using all of our eyes to grasp, to get a glimpse of all of the glimmering facets of the glory of God. And we'll never tire. And forever we'll be joining that song and proclaiming like this, He is stronger! He is stronger. He is Lord of all. I would apologize for my tears and for emotions and so forth, except I won't. I guess, you know, I don't. What a privilege we have. Amazing, unspeakable privilege. And here we are, We're all gathered around Him. We're all having been brought to His table and feasting on Him. We're all, each one of us, in our own way, we're all expressing, we're all experiencing, we're all savoring Him. Would you open your Bibles with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 25? Verse 9. Thank you, Nomi, for having that for us. On this mountain, isn't it amazing the vantage point that we have? On this mountain, countless believers around the world envy us today because we get to be on this mountain. But what has transpired on this mountain knows no limits of distance or scope. But it is amazing that a specific place was declared. God set the stage. So to speak, God picked a fight with the enemy and the powers of darkness. And He said, right here, I'm going to accomplish it on this mountain. In case you're wondering, if you're thinking powers of darkness, if you're thinking that maybe I'm going to try to do it on the sly or slip it in somehow. And no, I'm telling you way ahead of time, on this mountain is where I'm going to accomplish this. And He continues to do it. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. We are feasting. He has prepared the feast. He prepared a feast on this mountain when he said, take this bread. This is my body that's given, broken for you. When He said, take this cup. This is the blood of the new covenant. He is, Corinthians says, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. He is the lamb. Passover is all about Him. It's all about Him. Without the Passover lamb, there is no significance. Because there's no life. There's no escape from the death angel without the blood of the lamb. There's no escape from the just punishment, the just wrath of God without the blood of the Lamb that covers us. For Christ, the Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. That's who we're focused on. That's who we're celebrating. And He is the one who provides the place, and He provides the elements, the feast itself. And that the significance of that goes on and on. And that's, I guess, I'm just so aware in speaking about this that when you start to speak of one facet of the gospel, one facet of the significance of the blood of the Lamb, you start to speak of this and you only deal with a little bit. You only deal, it's so multifaceted, and we all experience it in so many different ways. So I'm aware, and I need to work at staying focused, so to speak, and not worrying about trying to cover different bases. I'm just one of those tongues, focusing on certain facets today. The feast. We continue to feast on Him. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. A continual feasting, a continual satisfying, and a continual overflow of this banquet, this feast that we are experiencing in Him. He has prepared the feast. Verse 7, on this mountain He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all the peoples. How did He do that? He took that shroud upon Himself. He became enfolded in that darkness Himself. He took it. There's an exposition at Notre Dame here in town of explaining and all the Shroud of Turin. It's very, very it explained a lot to me. I didn't understand the way that the burial cloth was the way He was enfolded in the burial cloth. I tended to see Him wrapped, you know, almost like a mummy, you know. The grave cloths wrapped around Him. Well, without going into that, He was covered in this shroud, enfolded in this shroud. But that's the way we are. We are wrapped in darkness, the shroud of death, in our lostness, in our rebellion. He took that upon Himself. How did He destroy the shroud? He took it and was wrapped in it Himself. He will swallow up death forever. He will swallow up death forever. If He hadn't Himself taken death upon Himself, death would have swallowed us forever. Apart from Him, there is no life. And forever, we would have been in darkness with no life. Forever. It doesn't really matter how we describe separation from God. It really doesn't matter how we describe hell. It doesn't matter what descriptions you want to focus on or how you want to try to interpret things. The fact is that without Him, without His death, we are separated from God, and the details of that are almost incidental. whatever that looks like, being in outer darkness, being in eternal torment, whatever that looks like, it all boils down to being separated from the one who is life himself. We're just separated from him. There's no life. We would be swallowed up by death. What kind of death do we experience now? And I'm not referring to the end of our physical life here, the end of our days here. What kind of death? What kind of darkness? What kind of shroud do we experience now? Would you look at Isaiah chapter 24, please? The second part, beginning of the second part of verse 18. The floodgates of the heavens are opened. The fountains of the earth shake. The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. The earth is thoroughly shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. A description of our lostness. So great, so heavy upon it, upon the earth, is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls. It is the earth, mankind, we are in full-blown rebellion against our Creator, our Lord, our God. We're in full-blown rebellion. Molly used this quote last week in the New Testament reading from John Stott in describing the essence of sin. The essence of sin, he says, is we put ourselves in the place that only God deserves. That's the essence of sin. We put ourselves in the place that only God deserves. The essence of salvation is God puts himself in the place that only we deserve. He took our death upon himself. He took the results of that full-blown rebellion upon himself. That destruction, that shroud, he took it upon himself. You know, I think it's really hard for us to grasp the extent of our sinfulness and our rebellion. Sometimes I think we can kind of get the idea of, like, well, gee, you know, the wrath of God. Why is God so upset? Why is he angry? Why is there wrath? Sheesh. I mean, we're just trying to do the best we can. You know, poor little old us. We're just muddling along in life trying to not hurt anybody and, you know, wrong. Each one of us, the nature of sin is such that each one of us would take the very throne of God ourselves if we could. We swallow up everything. We're like a black hole that just would take everything to ourselves if we could. If there were no restraints, I was thinking as we said the Shema, in the last part of the Shema there that says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I thought, that is laughable. That is so far from who we are and what we are. Love my neighbor as myself. Apart from the life of God and his restraints and his grace, I would have every neighbor serving me. The rebellion that I am in is such that I would not, that nature in me, that sin nature. It's the same nature that Satan has. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Wham! They didn't like that a whole bunch, did they? Doesn't matter who he said that to. Doesn't matter who he said it to. He could say it to every one of us. You're of your father, the devil. That's the nature that you have apart from him. You would swallow up everything and that would kill you. You would destroy everything. I would destroy everything by swallowing it up and consuming it myself. Once his enemy, we sang in one of the songs, yeah, once his enemy, now we sit at his table. I who would have dethroned him and taken everything from him, he has now rescued me by swallowing up my death and my rebellion and taking it on himself. What I deserve, that death that I deserved, he took it on himself. He embraced it and he took it down. He destroyed the shroud that enfolded me. He destroyed the shroud that enfolded each one of us by taking it on himself. What a wonder. The love reading through the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, I am my beloved, as they shared this morning. I am my beloved, and he is mine. What he was accomplishing by that swallowing up death himself, he was putting on display his absolutely amazing love. Love that goes beyond everything. Nothing of worthiness in us. And yet, he loved us so much that he would give himself to that extent. Give himself without limit and swallow up our rebellion and death. Description there in verse 20 of Isaiah 24, it says, the earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. In the wind. Would you look at chapter 25 and verse 4, please? Following that idea of the wind and the storm. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. That idea of the storm battering against a wall, battering this hut, this dwelling, being blown in the wind. The breath of the ruthless is like a storm. The things that are against us, that work against us, whether it's accusations, or as it mentions here, the breath of the ruthless, accusations that we continually hear in our own ears, hear in our own inner being, whether it's attacks from enemies, the powers of darkness that are arrayed, that work to destroy us and God's intentions and his designs for us. Circumstances of life that can be like a ruthless storm that can just blow against you and overcome you. In thinking about the wind here, a week or so ago, there was a tornado in our neck of the woods in Oklahoma. And most of our family lives there in Oklahoma City, and actually some of our family lives in Moore, which was interesting to me. Gary mentioned to me that Bob Lindsay was from Moore, Oklahoma. David's from Oklahoma. Were you from Cleveland or what? Cleveland, Oklahoma. A lot of good things come out of Oklahoma. Huh? Behold! But I bet you could tell some stories about some rough weather, some storms, tornadoes blowing against this wind blowing against a wall. Tornadoes are incredible in their strength and in their destruction, and they can. Many of you, perhaps in other parts of the country as well, are experienced with tornadoes. But in recent years, there's been several major tornadoes, even monster storms, monster tornadoes go through Moore, Oklahoma. And that's right close to where we're going to be moving to shortly. And Molly's twin sister lives there. Our oldest son and his family live there. We have a lot of family right there, either in Moore or across the street from the boundary of Moore. I was thinking, you know, people might say, "Shish, why in the world are you moving to Moore, Oklahoma, where they have storms like that?" And I thought, oh yeah, coming from you guys that live here in Jerusalem, you know, people think you're crazy for living here, you know. You're not exactly playing it safe if you're living here in Jerusalem and in Israel, are you? So, kind of pick your storm. Here you need bomb shelters. There they need storm shelters. So, fact is, we all need a shelter, don't we? Beyond any physical structure, we need a shelter. And that's what this scripture describes. That storm, tornadoes can create such pressure. They'll enter into a building without blowing it over from the outside. At times, it'll get inside a building and explode it from the inside out. At times, the tornadoes can slick everything from a house. They just, you know, built on a slab. The house is completely gone. Totally gone. The only thing that's left is the slab. So your shelter has to be underground. Anything above ground. In fact, at times it even lifts the sod, the turf. It'll rip your lawn right out. Can you imagine? It'll open up trees. I don't know how that happens. How can it be that this wind would open a tree? Because they find 2x4s stuck through trees. I don't know how, but it's a good visual to contemplate the storms that can come against us in life. In fact, there's a storm at Passover. The storm that was coming over was a judgment of God. It was the death angel. It was something sent by God. The wrath of God is the ultimate storm that you and I would encounter. And without the shelter of the one who took the storm himself, he stepped up to that tornado, if you will. And he took the full brunt of it in order to take that storm, take the wrath of God, and take anything else that could come against you. He took it himself and he swallowed it up and destroyed it. So that when we stand before His presence. When we come to His table, we're accepted. There is nothing against us. We sang things this morning like, nothing can remove us or separate us from His love. Nothing can take us from His hand. We are so totally sheltered now because of the storm that He took Himself, and He has brought us into the shelter. He Himself is the shelter. On the cross, He swallowed it up. And at the resurrection, He burst forth to declare that He had conquered it. And it was finished. Death had been destroyed, and now life. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light. We're celebrating the light. We're celebrating the fact that we have been delivered from darkness and death and separation from Him. And we've been brought in to the glorious light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We live in the light. There's a picture. There's a lot of things at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that that are distractions, or that are for me are I have a difficult time with. I have a difficult time understanding or overlooking or even tolerating, in a sense. But I still love to go there. Because really the whole world is kind of like that. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things about the whole world that are objectionable. But we don't exit the world. You know what I mean? But the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, There's one of the things there that I love is a picture of Jesus. It's right over the entrance when you're waiting to go into the entrance to the tomb itself. And up high, up above that, there's a big painting, and it's of Jesus at the time of the resurrection, when He exits the tomb. It's in black and white. The painting is in black and white. But I really appreciate that painting because I feel like it captures, it puts on display something. It helps me to, in imagining, what was it like when Jesus burst forth. This painting is, it's many of you are familiar with the painting, but I can't do a very good job of describing it, I don't think. But it's kind of a Michelangelo style in the sense that his body, he's very muscular. He's built, he looks like a rugby player. Is what it reminds me of, muscular, and he's stepping forth from darkness behind him, and he comes out with his countenance raised, and he's bursting out of the darkness into light, and it's a moment of triumph that painting helps me to visualize and to imagine. He burst forth, having destroyed the shroud, having swallowed up death. He now has risen. When we say those terms, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. What we are saying is, it's hard to express it, isn't it? The significance of what it means. He has brought us out of darkness and death. And He didn't just bring us outside the darkness and death and set us there and say, okay, now go on your way and take care of yourself now. He brought us out of darkness and death into His glorious light. He brought us into relationship with Himself. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, beholding Him. So, as we take the elements of here of this table now, this bread and this cup. Let's savor Him. And however you would do that, however in this multifaceted atmosphere of beholding the glory of God, fix your eyes on Him. Fix your eyes on His glory. And feast at the table that He has provided, that He Himself is. Those who are going to help us serve, would you come, please? Maybe Dahlia and the worship team, would you guys come as well, please? The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." As we worship, we're going to ask these folks to pass the bread to you, please. We'll just do the bread at first, and we'll wait on the cup. If you would hold the bread, and we'll all eat it together, and let's worship Him.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, His cornerstone. This solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the blood of Christ I live.
In Christ alone. Thanks. You know, it's It's possible, perhaps, there are those with us today who haven't yet received the Lord personally. Perhaps you know all about the gospel. Perhaps you've thought of yourself even as a Christian, perhaps your whole life. Or perhaps you're just saying, nah, that's just not for me. You know what? Without Him, there is no life. Period. He is the life. Without Him, there is no shelter from the storm. In Him, in Christ alone, we have everything. Would you, if you recognize that you've never personally said, Lord Jesus, I am lost without You. I have nothing without You, neither now nor when I face the future and face death and eternity. Without You, I have nothing. Lord Jesus, I believe that what You did on the cross, You did for me. To take my guilt and my death upon Yourself. And by receiving this bread and this cup that represent Your body and Your blood, I want to ask for Your forgiveness. And I want to ask You to be my Savior and my Lord. He simply awaits your invitation. There's nothing else. There are no barriers. There's nothing about yourself that you need to tidy up or clean up or merit somehow. It's only in Christ alone. Receive the gift of Himself that He offers to you. Jesus, we receive You. This is my body, He said. This is the feast that I'm providing for you. Gerhard, would you ask the Lord's blessing on this bread, please? In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." We are proclaiming the Lord's death and the triumph of His death, what He accomplished in His death, in His dying. We're proclaiming it with this cup and this bread. We proclaim it until He comes, because He's coming again to this mountain. He'll come to the Mount of Olives to come to Jerusalem, to this mountain from where He will reign over all the earth. He's coming again to this mountain. The feast that He has prepared is just getting started, but it's all in Him. So, take the cup. The darker cup, you'll notice there's a darker and a lighter. The darker cup is wine. The lighter is juice, if you prefer. Okay. Just hold the cup and we'll all drink it together, okay?
in the ground His body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever blot me from His hand, till He returns and takes me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Can we sing again? There in the grave His body lay.
There in the grave His body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Hallelujah. Don't you just feel like somehow, Lord, help me just to burst out. Somehow, Lord, bought with the precious blood of Christ, bursting forth in glorious day. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Christopher, would you pray over the cup, please?